going on?
Nothing much here. Getting ready for major life events. You know how that works.
Important.
Yeah.
Important ones. You know.
Yeah. Big ones.
So. It only took 9 years, so yeah. You know.
We got there eventually.
Better late than never.
You've been dating for 9 years?
In April, it will have been 9 years.
Wow. Okay, that's a long time. Okay, well, we're on the show, and we have four people, and if you're savvy listeners, you figured out who they are. But what's cool is the last time we talked to you guys was during the infamous Houseu party.
Oh, yes.
House.
Which was a lot of fun. And actually, I got a lot of good feedback. A lot of people enjoyed it, and a lot of people enjoyed Jessica. So anyway... First things first.
Thank you.
Everyone could hear that wave.
Oh, yes. I pictured it. We have Dave Eves.
Hello
Dave. We have future Criterion wife to be, Jessica.
Yes.
And we have Mark Harney.
Hello, of course.
Of course, yeah. Sorry. It needs no introduction, right? No. Glad to have you all and glad to be reunited, and it feels so good. And yeah, congratulations! Since the last time we talked, a certain couple got engaged. Awesome.
Marriage is impending.
Thank you.
So, actually, Jessica, that's why we established on the Houseu episode, you're not like a Criterion nerd like us. You are more like Criterion tolerant. Is that fair?
Yes, Criterion tolerant. I support Dave in all things Criterion. So, yes, I do watch them sometimes. Like, we counted last night.
She's seen 70.
At least 70.
Good.
At least, wow.
Yeah. It's just things like The Leopard. And is it called The Leopard?
It's called The Leopard.
Yeah, I'm like, no, yeah. I think I'm good. I'm good with that one.
You want the cheetah is what you want.
Yes. Or Panther.
You want The Leopard Man. Yeah. Right. Even though that's not on Criterion. But Cat People is.
Cat People is.
Puma Man, hey.
Ooh, even sequel. Better.
Yeah.
Aaron, I think you just joined MST. You just got a new podcast, Criterion Tolerant.
There you go.
Hosted by Jessica. I love it.
So I think it's no secret that our show probably skews a little male. Probably a lot of middle-aged dudes with their Criterion collections and their wives that kind of, tolerate stuff. Like my wife. She watched a Lifetime movie last night while I watched a Criterion film. So a French-Canadian Criterion film. But Jessica, I think you'll be a little... You won't be like my wife. Nothing against my wife, of course.
No, not
I love my wife.
Well, get used to that back there, because next August you inherit half of it. By proxy.
Wow. There's this website called eBay, Jessica.
I'm going to make me some money.
Don't use it. Yeah.
snap.
A Criterion prenup. That's a first.
Criterion specific.
So anyway, we have this is a big show, as it turns out. This is the first one we've done in a couple weeks, and it's only our fourth for Criterion now. But we found that if we skip a week, a lot happens, and we like to talk about all of it. So we're gonna start by talking about the two releases that have come out since we last had an episode, and then we're gonna get in some newsish stuff. Then of course we'll do our short takes, and we'll talk about Filmstruck. Sound good?
Perfect.
Sounds good here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Black Girl. Black Girl is actually, this one came out before our last episode, but we needed time to digest this one. So should I even ask Jessica? Have you even heard of it?
I have seen it sitting on my coffee table, and I was like, oh, this is interesting. And Dave said it's his first African-made movie.
Yeah, but it's the first film from Africa, Senegal, to be specific, that I've ever seen.
Yes. Yeah. Hmm. And it's Ousmane Sembène, and as it turns out, speaking of wives, my wife teaches English, and she likes to teach a lot of post-colonial stuff.
Cool.
She's just really into that. So actually, she got to... This is one she watched with me and really enjoyed it. And she actually watched every single feature, like all the, and she was actually more interested in the features than I was.
That's awesome.
Which was great. And I said something during one of them. She says, stop. It's interesting. Like, sweet. So yeah, I got to watch. This is an early candidate for my favorite of the year. It's not the first African film, because there's some from the World Cinema Foundation box. But Ousmane Sembène is, he's considered having made the first really African film from an African's perspective, and I thought the disc really does kind of summarize that and actually expands on that and talks about Africa as a as an identity and as a culture and their independence and how he pretty much asserted their independence, not just politically but like again culturally and not just Africa too, but just race. And in this case, it's more a black person living in the white person's world. So so yeah, I really really loved this. Did you, either of you anybody get a chance to look at it?
I watched it. I thought it was great. I thought it was very interesting to, it was almost like a double whammy of foreign perspective, because you get a European colonial country like France, and their colonies were in Africa for the most part, so you get to experience an African person moving to what in their mind was going to be like the promised land in a sense, but they just feel like they're an indentured servant there and feel like a second-class citizen, just like they did in their own country, which is... horrible, and it's sad, and it's very telling of just a perspective that I had never really seen in this way before.
And in that sense, it's also kind of like a horror too, in a way. Not a horror, Jessica. Sorry, this is not giallo.
She does not go on a killing spree.
But yeah, and there's some things that happen that are interesting. But for her, the experience is pretty horrible. And yeah, and to her it was a horror for sure.
Yes.
Did you see it, Mark?
I haven't yet. I'm waiting for the impending flash sale from the Criterion site to pick it up.
Ooh. Oh, smart, budget-efficient man. Well, it's short. It's only like an hour, and it's like an hour with like 5 minutes of restoration text at the beginning.
It's so easy to watch those hour-long films. I could watch.
I know.
Oh, yeah. You could just put them on right now, and it's fine.
Yeah, and Arik from Criterion Cast, he's been a vocal advocate of short films, and I'm with him. I think say what you have to say and get out of there. Although, I'm fine with A Brighter Summer Day and The Emigrants and Shoah, but yeah, a 50-minute-hour film is a nice. It's nice, especially if you do can convey a message as succinct and as powerful as this. It's really worth it. So, Jessica, did you watch it?
Black Girl?
Yeah.
No, I did not. I watched it sit on my coffee table.
Okay. Well, do you have any comments about Sam Bennett?
The director.
I'm sure that they are fabulous. I don't know if it's a man or a woman.
It's a man.
It's a man.
It's a man, yes.
You know, God bless Bennett.
God bless Bennett. Sorry, Jess. I'm not making fun of you, but
no, it's okay.
All right, well, we'll move right along since we do have a lot of stuff here. So the next release just came out this previous week, which is Camera Person. And I wrote a review. I haven't done many of these for Criterion Cast, but I wanted to for this release. And I'm not going to say much about it. I wrote a review that I'm actually kind of proud of. But I'll just say that I love the film, and I thought it was really unique and a different way of looking at really a person. And coinciding with their profession and what that says about them, and it just so happens that they have a profession that shows beautiful images, and so it really worked for me. And I know Mark, you're on the same page, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I really actually just read your review last night in preparation for this, and you use some really nice language, Aaron. I really recommend folks check it out. I was really glad to. I was concerned because I've been talking about this a lot. I'm like, what's Aaron going to think of it? You know, is it going to resonate with him as much as it did with me? And you said it did in the in your review. So there's a lot that you said that I think really bears reading. So folks, check it out. And we were kind of simpatico in our thoughts on this. I remember in calling it a gut punch of a movie.
Yeah, I heard you say that after I'd already written it. So I was like, high five.
Yeah, it has my scene punch too.
In a good way. Yeah. Yes, and I won't talk about that scene, but I think we're simpatico on that too.
Yeah,
difficult. And you talk about horror. There are some horrors here, and they could have easily gone the act of killing route, kind of just torture porn, basically, which. Yeah, it worked in The Act of Killing. I don't think it would work here as well. But Dave, Jessica, Camera Person, seen it?
I just got pointed to. I watched this, and it really took me by surprise. I don't know what I really expected going in, but it was... I loved it. I thought it was great. And just to... Jess, I know you haven't seen it, but I think that had I put it on, like on a Saturday morning, you would have gotten sucked into it, and you would have watched it, and you would have really liked it.
Yeah. I think you would have too. It's a tough film to get, and I don't know if you're into documentaries.
I am, actually. I love them.
Have you seen The Act of Killing?
I have. I enjoyed it very much. It kind of destroyed me a little bit.
This might destroy you too.
It's quote enjoy, not really enjoy. It's not like a roller coaster ride. Well, it is, but not the good kind. I think you would get sucked into it, and it's a little tough to get on its wavelength. You know, you have to figure out what it's doing because there's not a lot of narration. It's just a lot of vignettes. But once you get there, it's something. And I really like that they did a new release.
It's nice to see that.
Should also mention it did not get an Oscar nomination, so
criminal.
Fuck you, Oscars.
Criminal.
We can say that on this show.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you guys are with me on that. I think it's there's not a whole lot of supplements, but I think the ones that are on the disc are worth watching and say something about the film. And as opposed to like we talked about Punch Drunk Love on Criterion Close Up, which. Some of the supplements were superfluous a little bit. That was a lot of S's.
Hard to say on a podcast.
Yeah, I made it happen.
One thing I will say about Camera Person, I think the only thing it could... I almost wish that I found out later that it wasn't a documentary, that this was like an entirely scripted thing. I think that would have... if I found that out after the fact, I think I might even like appreciate it even more that someone was able to kind of craft this story about a person... That isn't 100% that is not non-fictional, but I still appreciate it as being entirely a work of non-fiction that tells a story.
Yeah, I think that would be a very sick person.
It would be a very sick person.
That character. and very well read too on every genocide on the planet. So
yep.
Good votes for Camera Person and Black Girl, and I would say that the Camera Person. Criterion release is worth picking up, but I would say that like if you're just looking to buy any from this month, Black Girl is the way to go. Or was that last month? Yeah, that was January.
That was January.
So end of January. All right. Well, we have another one coming out next week that I think is right up your alley, Jessica. It's a three hour Italian film.
Italian horror?
No. It's about clogs. I don't know if that.
Oh, I wear them at work. I love my Danskos. Okay. Great arch support.
This is a tree.
These
of
These are wooden clogs, of course. But.
Wooden, right? Mm-hmm. No, the tree of wooden clogs. It's Ermanno Olmi. 3 hours. It won the Palme d'Or at Cannes in 1978. I don't know much about this, and I'm going to go in blind. But I noticed the website on Criterion websites calls it. In the categories, it says Bergman-esque, which I think is an interesting category. So yeah, there's a few supplements on it. Looks like there's an intro from Mike Lee. It was originally going to be, I want to say November, September, maybe actually even August.
It goes back a ways, yeah.
And they bumped it for no real reason until February. So I hope it's coming out. I haven't gotten that shipping notice yet, but any thoughts on... Has anybody seen it?
I grabbed the DVD from the library, and then I brought it home, and I promptly returned it, because I'm like, I'm going to wait till Criterion puts this out. I mean, I've waited this long. And it's interesting to see how this is the first in the collection since the spines, well, the dual spine, 194, 195 from Olmi. So, and those go back to the 60s. I think this is from the 70s. So, yeah, those two spines, Il Posto and I Fidanzati, I believe it is. So, it's nice to see some more Olmi in the collection.
I actually forgot that he was in the collection. I'm looking it up right now. I don't think I have those spines. So,
The Il Posto is also in the Essential Art House set. So, you can get it, you know, single DVD, and it's in that set. So, it's out there.
Sure is. Well, would you recommend those other two, Mark? Have you seen them?
I haven't seen those. No, I have them. I just haven't watched them yet.
Well, if anybody has, chime in. And I'm sure as we dive into that, I think I am doing an episode next week. Why? A 3 hour movie. I may or may not be covering it next week. We'll see. And we also have some big podcasts coming up. So. Well, okay, and this one might be something you can comment on, Jessica. Wong Kar-wai, are you a fan?
Oh.
You have not seen In the Mood for Love.
No.
You
long car, Chunk. Why not, though?
You've seen it by proxy. I watched In the Mood for Love once while you were playing Plants vs. Zombies on your phone.
Oh, don't say that out loud. Embarrassing.
Maybe that's awesome. That part out.
no, I'm not. No way. All right, well, Wong Kar-wai is a filmmaker and a Chinese filmmaker, and he's made some gorgeous films. I think you could they qualify as slow cinema, so I don't know if that's your wheelhouse, Jessica.
Slow? Like, it's a slow movie?
Yes.
Probably not.
Yeah, maybe not. Chungking Express might be faster and more engaging, but yeah, but they're very beautiful, and he partnered with Christopher Doyle on a number of them, who's a very accomplished cinematographer. So anyway, he showed up at the Criterion offices, and they posted a nice Instagram saying, "Hey, check out who's in our kitchen." And it's Wong Kar-wai, and the internet, or at least our collective internet, kind of broke out. Like, what does this mean? So I think it's hard to fathom why else he would be in the Criterion collection other than to talk about some release. I don't think he'd show up just to talk about, like, an Olmi film. So there's a lot of speculation that we're going to have some Wong Kar-wai coming out on Criterion. Of course, Chungking Express is out of print, so I'm sure Dave owns it, so you can watch it, Jessica.
I do own that one, actually.
Me too.
It's right behind you.
Okay.
All right, well, just plop it in.
Yeah, just pop it in.
No, I said plop it in.
That's plop it in? No plopping of the out of print ones, please.
Yes, yes. No, I don't want to know about your plopping, you wily rascals. So anyway, there's speculation that maybe that's coming back because that is on Filmstruck. And there's speculation that maybe that the Kino box set, a guy on Criterion Forum said maybe that they're just going to republish the Kino box set that has Chungking Express. And As Tears Go By, Days of Being Wild, Fallen Angels, and also Happy Together. So,
that would
Mark,
be fabulous.
Yeah, well, I think they're going to be standalones. I think they'll give them the kind of Wenders Kieslowski treatment. What do you think, Mark?
Yeah, I wonder. I mean, box set would be awesome, and it's, you know, like you said, it's out of print, fetching a lot of dollars. I have the set of this another set from Kino that's Fallen Angels and Happy Together. That one was released on Blu-ray, but also out of print. So, yeah, give me the box set. But I don't know. I mean, I think of the ones I've seen, Chungking kind of rises above them all. So, you know, I'm kind of torn as to how they really will release them. But, you know, I don't know if they have if all of these films are on Filmstruck. And if they are, that would kind of point to it. But
I actually checked yesterday, and the only two Wong Kar-wai films on Filmstruck are In the Mood for Love and Chungking Express.
Hmm. Yeah, so you never know. But that doesn't mean much. They're probably not going to show their hand like they did with Stalker on everything. They like this element of surprise. I think another one could be 2046, because that doesn't have a Blu-ray.
Right, just DVD.
Yeah. And it's very art housey. Jessica, you would hate it.
It's a sequel to.
It's like slower cinema.
Yeah. Sequel.
I remember when that came out because I was like, "Oh, is this a science fiction film? It's 2046." And then looking at the box, I'm like, "Oh no, I probably won't have any interest in this in high school or whenever that came out."
Right. Yeah, in high school you wouldn't. There is a Blu-ray. There's a Korean box set. So I guess there's a restoration out there somewhere. So it could be that. So I don't. Do you have any opinions on Wong Kar-wai, Dave?
Oh, me? I've only seen In the Mood for Love and Chungking Express, and I think In the Mood for Love is like one of my favorite movies. It is fantastic. I just need to put more time into seeing more of his films. So I hope Criterion puts them out to force me to watch more.
You may be lucky. In the Mood for Love, gorgeous. So aesthetically gorgeous, just beautiful film. Like, it's one of those where you could just freeze frame any shot and you could pretty much put it on your wall, frame it and put it on your wall.
Mm-hmm.
Love the soundtrack, too.
Just, but Jessica, slow.
Okay.
Slow, sorry.
I mean, I don't mind slow movies. It's just, they have, I don't know, it's, I guess it's,
A slow romance isn't your
I basically hate all romance. I can't.
Oh, okay. except for the one the one you have with Dave. That one's right?
That's
it's
so true.
Nice.
It's almost Valentine's Day, too. So.
Ooh, it's true. Yeah. Oh, God. And I just said that.
Yeah. Oh, no. It's okay. We got each other horror t-shirts for Valentine's
Day. We did, actually.
That is so cool. Yeah. So, well, there are slow, like, Quaidon is a slow horror in a way. I saw somebody else online said it was a fast horror. And I was like, what movie are you watching? No, I love it. But
I made you watch the first segment of Quaidon, and I think you might have fallen asleep, but it was really late at night.
Okay. All right.
Japanese, like, old folktale horror movie. This was years and years and years ago.
Oh my God, yeah, I don't remember. I don't remember what it was yesterday. You can't talk to me about stuff like that.
All right, well, this next one might be up your alley, Jessica. We have David Lynch, The Art of Life.
Yes.
So this is a documentary that's coming out, and it's being released by Entoured from Janus Films. So they announced the theatrical release. They put out the poster art. There's a trailer. I don't know if anybody got to see it. It looks like pretty much a different sort of documentary than your filmmaker documentary. So it's a no-brainer. It's going to come out on Criterion in some shape, way, or form. The question is it going to be standalone, or is it going to be I don't know, Inland Empire?
Maybe the Straight Story.
Straight Story.
I'm open for Lost Highway.
Lost Highway. Yeah.
Lost Highway, Blue Velvet. Let's just name all his movies. Yep.
it seems like it's going. It would be a supplement. I just can't see it having its own spine. But then again, we got the Ingrid Bergman.
Was what I was thinking. We'll see. there was a backlash to the Ingrid Bergman thing. A lot of people in our little community, in our podcast community, our feed, were a little critical of that being a standalone. And I thought it was an okay movie, but. Yeah, if I weren't like one of these guys that just buys Criterions all the time, I'd pass. What do you guys think? But David Lynch is different than Ingrid Bergman. And David Lynch is just mammoth. And I think one of our most popular episodes of Close Up was Mulholland Drive. And like
certainly,
although PTA is giving it a run for its money. So, Dave or Jessica, would you buy a Criterion documentary standalone about David Lynch?
I would. I mean, I love David Lynch. I think he's very interesting. I love his movies and I like documentaries. So I definitely give it a try.
Mm-hmm. I would probably buy it too, but I would hope that it would be supplementary to one of his feature films just because I want more of his feature films.
Right. That would be even better.
On Criterion.
Box set. Hey, box set, supplement. Yep. Yeah. It could be its own spine on a box set.
Exactly. How about
that? I could get behind that.
Yeah, I think the entire internet and the entire planet might be able to get behind that. Well, I'm glad that you're on board with that. And you know, speaking of slow cinema, I could see some people actually saying Lynch is a little bit slow cinema, like Lost Highway, Inland Empire. But there's so much going on that it's interesting.
Like there's a mystery around it. Like you're trying to figure out what the heck is going on. So even if it's, I guess, perceived as slow, to me, that's interesting. Any movie that I have to try and figure out what the heck is happening, I'm cool with.
We'll draw you
right.
in, yeah.
I would steer you away from I'm not going to say the name. The Cheerers, they call him Joe. We talked about him on the first podcast.
What is he? Cheetah Pong? No. Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, yeah. The guy that has people sitting in trees for half an hour.
I have not seen any of his films.
Does that sound... You. Yeah, pass.
What was that movie I came home and you were watching it, and it looked like it was made in 1972, and it was an instructional video on how to play the piano.
Oh, my God.
Because that was rough.
It was Largent. Largent. It was Brisson, Robert Bresson.
Yes, and yeah. Avoid Bresson like the plague.
Even I tried to avoid him like the plague. I'm sorry. I'm not a fan.
Really? Okay. Yeah,
that wasn't a Criterion.
No, it was on Filmstruck.
Okay.
Yeah, it could be
potential.
One day. It's floated out there because he has maybe three or four on Criterion. So there are a couple others out there. Actually, I really like his Lancelot du Lac. I would love to see that.
I'm willing to give him additional chances, but I don't know. I don't think he's for me.
Hmm. Yeah, I think Lancelot du Lac, if you're into Arthurian kind of stuff, that might be, even though it is still slow cinema, it might be something you could at least grab hold of.
Okay.
So, all right, let's move on.
Oh, hey, Aaron, just wanted to mention too.
Did I not ask you about David Lynch? Oh,
no, you, I think you did. But this year is the year of Twin Peaks, so maybe
yes.
Ooh, oh, yeah, right, duh.
Coming out in yeah. May, so maybe you know there's a tie-in there. It makes sense.
Wow. Yeah. Mm.
Okay. I love me some Twin Peaks. Mm. I could talk about that now.
Can I just have a moment here? I'm about to explode. I love David. In fact, there's a little Facebook group. They're doing this contest, favorite directors, and they're doing like a bracket, like the basketball tournament bracket, March Madness.
Nice.
And David Lynch came up against the Coen brothers, and I had to vote the Coen brothers.
What?
Oh, that's tough.
I love them both, but I had to go Lynch. Yeah. And Lynch yeah. is...
It was tough.
That is tough.
I think Lynch might be losing right now, which is yeah. is sad.
He is. He is.
Oh, that's a shame.
It's because of you. It's because of you, Aaron.
I could have swung that. I'm the Mike Pence there. So.
No, God. Oh, no.
I know. No, don't get me started. But no, my argument was that, okay, the best of Lynch is better than the best of Coens, but not by a lot. And then but the Coens are so prolific and so consistent, even though there's a couple that don't work as well. Even like Hail Caesar, which is a lower tier Coen, still works for me. So, mm-hmm. yeah. And by the way, on our PTA episode, we asked best modern filmmakers, and somebody brought up the Coens. And I was like, duh, yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, all right, well, let's move on. There was a newsletter clue, and Jessica, I don't know if you're aware of these things, these little teasers. That
I am. David shows them to me, and he's like, what do you think?
Cool.
And so I am. I am aware.
Have cool. you ever gotten one, Jessica?
I got the Rumblefish one.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. So that was good.
Nice work.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, good job. Yeah, that's coming pretty soon. Soonish. Yeah, I never get them, actually. But the thing is, I just post them on Facebook, and people get them for me, and I'm like, oh, I knew that. No, not really. This one, I didn't get, but I think if I had thought about it, I would have got it because I was at work when it came out, and it had already been solved. But this one, it looks like it's a box with a shirt and tie, and there's a dollar sign, I believe. So I think it's pretty clear that it's Taipei Story by Edward Yang. And, of course, Yang is already in the collection with Yi Yi and A Brighter Summer Day, which is also slow cinema. I don't know. Dave, do you think that might be up Jessica's alley, or is that too slow?
I think if you sat down for the 4 hours of A Brighter Summer Day, I think you'd like it. It has a little kid singing Elvis.
It does, yeah.
It's called A Brighter Summer Day. That's not helping right now.
But it's dark. It's dark.
It's extremely dark.
Okay.
The whole thing is inspired by an actual real-life murder.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
See, now?
Here we go.
Now
spoiler alert. Yeah, but it takes a little while to get there. and it's also, there's a lot of Taipei history in it, so it's a challenging movie. You might want to like read the Wikipedia about Taipei before beforehand.
There's a little introduction at the beginning of that movie that kind of gives you like, hey, by the way, there's like two gangs of kids in this movie.
Right. It's tough to figure out who's who, and also the martial law. That's they kind of established that pretty early. I think it's brilliant. It was my favorite release of last year, so that says anything. But what do I know?
I'm with you.
So Taipei Story. I'm thrilled to get another Edward Yang. I hope this is the beginning or the continuation of plenty more.
Absolutely.
And I think we all agree that's what it is, right?
It seems like. I mean, the other possibilities. Yeah. I don't know. I just can't get behind. What was it? Salesman as a possibility, or How to Succeed in Advertising. I don't quite see it. I mean, this one has it. It's not quite a pun, but it's certainly. I just don't see. You know, I think if it was Salesman, then you would know that book that the tie is on would be the Bible, not just any book. So, yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, good point. And it could be one of those double clues. You know, they may say Taipei Story is the most obvious, but there's, you know, maybe Salesman will come out in a few months and be like, oh, yeah, look, guys, it's right under our noses. Also, there's the old Salesman. The is that? Maisels or Pennebaker? God, I should know that.
Maisels,
thank you. So which I love that film, and I love the documentary now treatment of it, which is actually people have speculated that might make it to the collection. And somebody else suggested Paper Moon, which I think is possible. I don't know if you guys have seen Paper Moon, but it's about a salesman and kind of is a swindler, and it plays money games with Ryan and Tatum O'Neill, Peter Bogdanovich. Seems like a Criterion type of film. It does have a Masters of Cinema release, so that's probably not what it is, but you know, it's nice to think about such things.
They should do a box set, and the cover of the box set is just that clue. And inside is any movie that could fit under that clue.
Might be a big box set. Because this is just the top, the cream that rose to the top. So, yeah, so, and Taipei Story is, it's going to be toured. I think they said it was at BAM in March. So maybe, and if it's a Janus tour, I don't think it was Janus, but probably other film, you know, probably Film Forum and maybe some LA cinemas. So yeah, maybe a summer release, maybe May, who knows?
Yeah, earliest, it would be the earliest Yang in the collection too, 85, that would be nice.
Wow.
Let's do it.
Yeah, very early. And I think we've been looking for more Taiwanese cinema, and Hu Hsiao Hsien, Jessica's...
I feel like the fourth wheel over here. I'm so sorry. I'm just like,
ooh. Well, at least you can contribute to David Lynch. So,
yeah, we'll always have David Lynch.
Always have David Lynch. Yeah, a lot of marriages say that. A lot of awesome marriages. Well, are you a Robert Altman fan, Jessica?
You like Three Women?
I do. I love Three Women.
Ooh, nice.
All right. Good one. Do you like? I know we established before the show you're kind of iffy on Bergman. You've seen two Bergmans, but have you seen Persona?
I have not.
She's seen The Seventh Seal and Hour of the Wolf.
Yeah, oh, and I like both. I actually really like Seventh Seal a lot.
I could see that. If you liked Three Women, I think you could dig Persona.
That's what I keep telling her.
I know. I just got to get around to it.
I think you'd love the intro.
You've seen bits and pieces, but then when it came to The Sheep, you closed your eyes.
The Sheep?
I will say no more. Jess is not a fan of animal death.
No, I cannot deal with it. I cannot.
Boy, I don't even remember that. Don't watch... there's a lot of movies you shouldn't watch then.
A Dog's Purpose, those trailers, I started ugly crying, in the theater. It was pathetic.
And it turns out all that controversy was all fake, you know, so they didn't hurt.
I don't even think you heard about the controversy.
Wait, what was the controversy?
PETA. Was it PETA?
Yeah.
Was trying to say that a dog was mistreated on set when the dog just didn't want to go in water, because what dog wants to take a bath?
And it turns out that they actually did exactly the right thing. He didn't want to go into the water, and they removed him from that shot. But then they showed just him go. This is a big digression. They showed him going into the water, and then they cut to another shot with him in the water. So it made it look like he didn't want to go in the water, and they put him in anyway. So, yeah. Okay. A movie not to see, Jessica, is Wake and Fright. Avoid that movie like the plague.
I will.
But anyway, I was actually leading this up with Robert Altman. So somebody named Craig Keller teased that California Split is coming to the collection. I don't know who Craig Keller is. Do you guys know who Craig Keller? I think...
No.
No.
No, I knew the name, but wasn't familiar with him.
I think he is a filmmaker, kind of. Sorry, Craig Keller, if you listen, and I don't know who you are.
I'll check his IMDb for the credit of kind of filmmaker.
Yeah, I don't know all the writers and short filmmakers or whatever, film essayists. I think he might be a little of both, though, so I could be wrong. But anyway, he put out a tweet that California Split from Altman, I think that's 1974.
That's right.
Is coming to the collection. So I haven't seen it, but I've seen a lot of Altmans, and any 70s Altman, I'm on board.
Bring it.
So I don't know how credible he is, but it was credible enough that Criterion Forum, who's really good about sniffing this sort of stuff out, they did put together a thread saying forthcoming California Split. So are you guys jazzed, or have you seen it?
I've not seen it, but sure, bring it on.
I have not seen it either.
I haven't either. Uh-huh. It's a smack dab between Thieves Like Us and Nashville. I bring it.
Cool.
And I'm sorry, I'm checking here. There was a release. Oh, I'm sorry, there hasn't been a Blu-ray release. So yeah, perfect. A lot of people don't like when they do Blu-ray releases when there's already one. So those people will be very happy.
they got so, yeah. no ammo.
All right, we have nothing to say because we haven't seen it, but cool. I guess that's what we have to say. And okay, well, the next thing might be up your alley, Jessica. Are you a fan of Do the Right Thing?
I actually really like that movie. Mm. I am.
Spike Lee, okay.
I don't really care for Spike Lee, but I do like Do the Right Thing. I've also seen Bamboozled, which is a weird, very weird filming style, but I appreciate it. But I do like Do the Right Thing.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say that Spike Lee is kind of a erratic filmmaker. He's either like on the top of his game, like all of a sudden he'll come out with a masterpiece out of nowhere, and then like a bunch of crap. Subjectively, a bunch of crap. I haven't liked a handful of his more mainstream films. But Do the Right Thing, I think, is a masterpiece. I'm a big fan of that. I think it really captures race relations, and it's still relevant, very relevant today, maybe even more relevant today. That's scary.
Yeah.
it also captures, like, heat and summer pretty well.
It does.
You feel sweaty watching the movie. Yeah.
You do. It's like you turn the AC down a couple notches. So, anyway, well, Do the Right Thing does have a Criterion DVD release, but it's been out of print for a while. And Mark, you're really good with out of print stuff. Do you know how long it's been?
I don't think it was out of print that long, because I didn't even know it was out of print. I think it was one of those that was like, buy at Amazon, showed up on the website, and so folks thought it was out of print. But now you can order it directly from the website. So this is one I actually picked up during the last flash sale, which was what, August, September? From the Criterion site. So,
not very long at all. Yeah. So, okay, so it's back in print. You can now get it. Now, there have been a gazillion Blu-rays of this one already. Yeah. And I did buy some special edition, I forget what it's called, and I actually watch it with Andrea, my wife, who is had not seen it, and she liked it. But anybody think there could be an upgrade?
Why not?
Yeah, I don't see why not. Pourquoi pas.
It's a Universal release, so...
They have a good relationship with Universal. And if Universal... Well, you said there have been a handful of Blu-ray releases, but if they're not doing anything too fancy with it now, why not?
Yeah, it looks like the last one was 2009, as far as I can tell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a while ago.
Yeah, so the 8-year rule, I think, is is fair. Actually, it seems like 3 years is pretty much fair game as far as putting stuff back. And I was critical about Criterion for doing this, but... It seems like with everyone they bring it, so I have no problem with that anymore. What about you, Mark? Would you entertain a Blu-ray of Do the Right Thing?
Yeah,
or do you think it's?
I think so. I mean, it seems like one of those movies that Universal would just put out themselves. They re-released it in 2012 as a 100th anniversary, their 100th anniversary. So to me, it seems like it's going to be stuck in Spartacus hell, where it'll just be dual DVD for a while. But who knows? I mean, I know there's been a lot of talk about what Criterion can get with the downturn of physical media. So who knows?
Yeah, the Doctor Strangelove. Actually, you might be onto something. Criterion might get Do the Right Thing on its 100th anniversary.
There we go.
And I think it's feasible.
100K Blu-ray or something by that point. But,
yeah, probably.
Holodisc. They just
implant it into your brain. I could see it. If it's been that long and Universal hasn't done anything with it, and it is this art house tentpole, really, especially for race films, I think I could see it. It's feasible, but will it happen? Probably not, I think. Let's move right along to today is the 12th as we're recording this, and the 15th is every month. Duh.
There was that one month that there wasn't a 15th. You don't remember that?
Was that a leap month?
It was a leap month.
They just leap past. According to Criterion, sometimes there are months that the 15th doesn't.
Right. Doesn't exist.
So, yes. So we should get announcements on the 15th, which is what, Wednesday? There was a tweet from Thora Birch. Bad girl, Thora. She said that Ghost World is coming out as a May release. So that's probably definite. We're going to hear about that.
I have seen that movie. What?
She saw it before it was a Criterion.
I know. I rented it from the video store back in the day when it first came out. And I liked it.
Yeah, it's good. It's a comic book adaptation, too. So... but it's a dramatic comic book, so that's I think that's pretty cool. And yeah, Thora Birch hasn't done a whole lot. Is she acting anymore? I didn't check before the show.
I had no idea.
Yeah, I don't know.
Me neither, yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me if she's just in, like, smaller movies or, like, direct-to-DVD. No offense to Thora Birch.
Hmm. No, you know, I think that was her thing, though. She was kind of, she was in indie films, Ghost World included. It's a Zweigoff, so,
yeah.
Of course, he's in the collection, and I probably misspelled his last name, because did I? Zweigoff?
Misspelled or mispronounced?
Mispronounced.
I don't think anyone can hear your spelling on the podcast.
Just like they can't hear Jessica's wave.
Yes.
So anyway, Thora probably jumped the gun, but that's happened before. Nancy Allen did tease a Dress to Kill before it happened with a tweet. So yeah, I think it's safe to say Ghost World's coming. I think Daniel Clowes has to do the cover art because he has done a couple other Criterions. He did the Shock Corridor and another Sam Fuller.
Naked Kiss,
thank you.
I love those covers.
Yeah, they are great. Awesome, aren't they? Yeah, mm-hmm. And of course he wrote this and drew this, so and he's on board with, I think he's on board with the production. I know he's involved, so yeah, that would be pretty cool to see his cover. And actually, we speculated online. How cool would it be to have the actual graphic novel bundled with the release?
Ooh,
that'd be pretty sweet.
We haven't done that for a while.
No.
Yeah, too long. And I think this is one that could sell enough to make it worthwhile. So
I think so. It was a popular movie.
It was, yeah.
Popular as far as like indie releases go, I'd say it was pretty popular.
Yes, yeah. Yes. For the time. Because it ended up on the video shelf at Hollywood Video.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, I think every movie did, in all fairness.
That's true. That's true.
Well, not every, but every popular indie film. So are we excited?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, and it was teased with the newsletter clue, the New Year's. I don't know if you get into those, Jessica.
I showed them to her. Okay. And she's just like, "What is this? What is this mess?"
I love how you're the conduit for everything Criterion.
I tell her like, "Oh, so the new releases came out today." She's like, "Mm-hmm. What?" Mm-hmm.
It's like every Friday you do a 15-minute presentation. Okay.
Yes.
I have to put together a PowerPoint. Like, that was very good this week, Dave.
Gold star.
Yeah. Good job. Pat on the back. Mm-hmm. So anyway, do you guys have any predictions and or wish lists for stuff to be announced this week? And I'm going to start with you, Jessica, since you're the fourth wheel.
All right.
The self-proclaimed. You're not really.
Well, David showed me like one of the cartoon clues, and it looked like 16 Candles. And that was super exciting to me because out of his teen movies, I love that John Hughes movie. And what's also exciting is if we're doing one John Hughes movie, I feel like that could open the door for more. And my favorite is Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. When I could like quote that movie right now through the whole thing. So I would love to see a Criterion John Hughes collaboration.
Well, guess what? I think that's going to happen.
Oh, really?
A lot of people, and you have to take into consideration that Criterion fans are, you know, the people that are into the Tree of Wooden Clogs will, and A Brighter Summer Day, they sometimes wince about 80s comedies. So it's going to be a little controversial in the community. And also there's the joke, okay, Long Duck Dong is in the Criterion Collection.
yeah.
But, you know, Michael Bay's in the Criterion Collection, as Alex Cox trolled us. So I think I'm okay. I haven't seen that since it came out. But
I heard like Dave was saying, because I hadn't seen that since, I mean, it's been a while since I watched it. Woo! There was a slight kitty tussle up in here. So
wow.
Sorry.
Since we're both in one room together, the cats are just like, oh, are they're still nuggets.
That was Mrs. Danvers. She's burning the house down.
You have a cat named Mrs. Danvers.
I do. We do. Yes.
It's Thrilla and Manila at the Eves and the future Eves household.
That's right.
I think the tussle has calmed down for now.
Yes. I'm leaving that in, by the way. That's not getting cut out.
I would expect nothing less.
So, predictions.
Me,
Dave.
Oh,
yeah, you, me.
I obviously want Stalker. I think they're going to hold out on that one, though. My prediction for May, I actually have a feeling that this is a May-style release, is going to be the upgrade of Jean Dielman, French address that I can't pronounce.
Jean. Yeah, you cannot.
Jean. Yeah, Jean Dielman. That sounds like a man's name, though. Is it Jean or Jean?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not the authority on French accents, even though sometimes I'm the authority on French film. Yeah. And I think I think the kiddies interrupted you, Jessica. Did you have a wish list too, or is that?
Nope, just that was it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Maybe some Jello, maybe? I don't know.
I would love to see Lucio Fulci on Criterion. But you know what? With John Waters, maybe, Waters coming out, who knows? We might get some more culty type movies, which I'm cool with, but I'm sure the Criterion diehards are not.
No, I'd say that there's a lot of culty stuff. Well, Valley of the Dolls and Beyond the Valley of the Dolls is culty.
Yes.
The epitome of culty. And John Waters.
I think they're trying to add a cult focus. They're trying to add more to it.
Yeah, and I think cult films are worth categorization or curation, whatever Criterion does. So yeah, no, bring it on.
And there are some Roger Corman films on Filmstruck with Criterion branding, including Death Race 2000 and Rock and Roll High School.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know how I feel about Corman. Death Race 2000 is fine, but
I want to see some Sly Stallone in the Criterion collection.
Yeah, Sly Stallone running over people. It could work. So okay, cool. Well, Mark, wish list.
Well, okay, I'm going to speak up for our friend Scott and I, who on the releases of 2016 said, "Where's the Bergman?" So I'm just going to say, "Where's the Bergman?"
Yeah,
but my other pick actually just came to me when we were talking to David Lynch. Again, with Twin Peaks coming out in May, we're talking about May releases. How about a David Lynch box set a la La Trilogia from Del Toro?
Ooh.
So we get the releases they've already put out. We get Mulholland Drive along with Eraserhead and at least one other title. Take your pick, which.
That would be cool.
Okay, yeah. Are you into the Trilogia, Jessica?
Yes, I actually do like Guillermo del Toro a lot. I've seen a bunch of them. I've seen all of them, yeah.
Well, see, you're right in this. Yeah. She had her doubts, everybody. She was like, what in the fuck did I get into?
I think when you started talking about clogs and trees, that's when I saw the fear.
Yeah, there was fear in my eyes.
That's a conversation ender with a lot of people, including this household. I'm watching that one solo.
I'm scared because I pre-ordered that and I had no idea it was 3 hours long.
3 hours.
Break it up.
I'm getting the consolation pat on the back that I'm on my own for that one. Mm-hmm.
It's
it could be your homemade miniseries. That's the way I treat those.
Dave does put on a lot of Criterions while after I fall asleep on the couch downstairs. So I truly believe that I have seen like all of these Criterions like through osmosis. Like they're somewhere. Right. They're somewhere in my consciousness. Eyelids.
It's like when people would buy the tapes like Learn French in Your Sleep. Yeah. You're fluent in so many languages and you don't even know it.
Yeah, the next episode she's going to be like Tarkovsky, Bergman,
Jean Dielman,
Glazmatov. She'll be correcting Dave's pronunciation. So
that's right.
All right. Well, my wish list is it's mine is more of a wish list. It's probably not going to happen, but I happened to watch A Fuller Life recently. That's the Samantha Fuller documentary about her dad, which they basically just had actors, mostly collaborators of Fuller. Read from his book, which I thought was a neat novelty. And she'd already said numerous times that it's coming out on the collection. And I think I'd guessed pick up on South Street. But now that I've seen it, I want the big red one on Criterion. Mm-hmm. And that is a supplement. And actually, I think that movie is more prominent in the documentary. And you know, since that's more recent, there were more people involved with that production that were participated. So I think that would be a better fit. But it does have a release from a couple years ago. I actually don't know exactly when it was. I think maybe 3 years ago. And it was this reconstruction. There was a director's cut and a theatrical cut. But it was Warner Brothers. So they're putting out a lot of Warner Brothers stuff. So, and I haven't seen it. And I like Sam Fuller. So, or actually, I'd say I love Sam Fuller. And so, yeah, that would be my choice. Let's make that happen.
Good
but
call.
It's probably not going to happen now.
I would put Mark Hamill in the Criterion collection.
Yeah, buddy.
And he well, himself. A Fuller Life would put him in the collection, so it's probably going to happen some way. Although the definition of being in the collection, it is on Filmstruck, so that might
ooh
you know that might translate into being in the collection to some people. Okay, well, that's really all our news-ish things. So you want to get to our short takes and Filmstruck?
Let's take it.
Dave, short take. Give it to me.
Short take. Last night, I watched Agnes Varda's Vagabond, which I know that you guys are both big fans of. I had never seen it before.
I haven't seen it, yeah.
And it was really good. An awesome story of a young woman who has died, and then her life is told through a series of sort of flashbacks, not quite from her perspective, somewhat from the perspective of other people, but kind of giving a sense like you can't really ever get the full picture of someone just from another person's perspective. I thought it was great. I thought it was a really good movie, and I was slightly falling asleep towards the end and thought it was very interesting and almost thought I dreamed it up that she was getting attacked by people dressed as radishes. But I watched it again this morning, the ending, and that did happen. So, that's part of that movie.
Did you just spoil Vagabond?
No, that's not... That's...
Oh, no.
Oh, no, spoilers.
She dies by radishes.
Death by radish.
That would actually be a great ending.
It is a great ending. It's how it ends, basically.
You're welcome. All right, Jessica? I guess they're very short. Sorry, audience.
I recently watched The In-Laws, which made me very happy that it came out on Criterion because that's a movie from my childhood.
Serpentine.
Yes, Serpentine. Shelley, Serpentine. There is a great, great stunt. It's so simple. In the beginning of the movie where Alan Arkin is walking along the street and then all of a sudden he jumps onto the hood of a car. Or the top of a car. And Dave and I, when we watched it, were like, oh my God, did he actually do that? So after rewinding it several times, we noticed that he passes behind a newsstand and a new Shelley Alan Arkin comes out and jumps on top of the car. But it's really well done. It's very quick. And it's just a great, fun movie. So
that is how the sausage is made, people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I don't like that one. Sorry, Jessica.
Oh.
You had a quote from it.
I know. Well, I like that part. I like that part. But
That's a fun movie. You're no fun.
I'm not fun. Yeah, you're right.
You don't even like Pepe? Movies. I mean, God.
If I don't cry three times, it's out. No.
You want to see Ingmar Bergman's The In-Laws.
I appreciate the movie. I'll say that. So, Mark.
My short take is actually partly your fault, Aaron, or at least I look to you to help me with the decision. So
it's all my fault. Yeah, everything's my fault.
I had a friend give me the DVD, The Grifters, and I'm like, well, my short take, if I'm going to pair it with The Grifters from Stephen Frears, might as well be a Stephen Frears movie. Was it going to be Laundrette or The Hit? And with the death of John Hurt, that made the decision easy, The Hit. So there's two films from him in the collection, and I went with The Hit. I'm just going to say also The Grifters, I think, would be very good, very Criterion worthy. Angelica Houston, John Cusack.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah. Good choice there. But The Hit, I mean, from the opening title, the Eric Clapton soundtrack, also features a very, very, very young Tim Roth looking so young. I guess from what I'm starting to realize, some Stephen Frears tenets in fatalism, nihilism, and bucking genre conventions, check, check, check. This film was not popular either, and I can tell, I mean, it is a, I don't know how you really describe it. It's a road movie, it's a Western, it's a neo-noir, it's a gangster film. I mean, it has... It's all those things, but it doesn't have the conventions, and it has little violence and no sex. So it was not popular, but I enjoyed it. It has a lovely essay in it, too.
Yeah, I like it, too. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's like a lot of movies coming out today, too. So maybe it was ahead of its time, really.
Yeah, could be. Yeah, and nice to see. I mean, a very cool John Hurt. So it was nice to see him again. And Terrence Stamp was great. Kind of a different role for him.
Yes.
Good movie.
Good. Yeah, that's a good pick. Well, mine is one probably nobody in this room has seen, Chronicle of a Summer. But this was an early experiment into cinema verite, and it's really, really influential on other cinema verite, including The American, which they dubbed direct cinema, the Maisels and Pennebakers, all cited Steve James also cited that. So I was just curious. It was a big hole in my viewing since I am a documentary fan, and I wanted to see what this early Verite was like. And it was good. The one thing is, it reminded me that when you put a camera in front of somebody and they know the camera's there, you can't really capture real truth. And I think that's kind of an illusion. I think the film kind of points that out, too, that they're always aware. And at some points, I think they are actually acting, but they're not actors. They're just real people. But it does cover the 60s French society. There's a lot of talk about politics and the Algerian War. Kind of speaking of some of the stuff from the themes from Black Girl and post-colonialism, this is from the other perspective. So I thought it was okay. It was good. Not fantastic, but it's also groundbreaking in a way too. So it's tough to be subjective about that, or objective about that, I should say. So yeah, Chronicle of Summer. All right, wow, we did breeze through those. Filmstruck. Speaking of lots of content, ton of stuff on Filmstruck these last couple weeks, and really good stuff. So I'll start by the really big thing for a lot of people is there's finally Chromecast enabled. Anybody here Chromecasty?
I'm not.
No.
I know David Blakesley is. He posted a funny picture of was he watching a I think he had a bunch of colors on his TV, and he said, "Boy, that Suzuki is really out there with this one."
Yeah, that was great. Yeah, that was funny.
With the interface,
it might be buggy. It's been buggy at various stages. Actually, it's still buggy at various stages. I use Amazon Fire, and sometimes it will freeze, and I have to like hopefully catch it so I get the time position so I can remember where to fast forward to next time, sometimes works, sometimes doesn't, but sometimes you can resume it.
It's nice to see it come out on another
sometimes
platform,
right? Yeah, it is buggy, but I'm pretty forgiving because I just love the content so much. There was also an email they sent out. I don't know if you all got it, but it was staff picks, and I thought these were interesting. They had Thief, Logorama, 2 Days in Paris, and Velvet Goldmine. Kind of a motley bunch there. And Logorama is a short, too. So, I did like that, and I like Thief a lot. The others are okay, but do you guys have any staff picks? Well, you're not staff, but aficionado picks?
Oh, geez. I would have needed to prepare for this. Well, Vagabond's really good.
That's the fun of this show.
Vagabond's good. Stalker is good. I want to see Gaslight. That's on there.
Oh, yeah. I try to gaslight Dave all the time, and it's so much fun. And then he's like, honey, please stop trying to gaslight me. It's not funny.
And we haven't even seen the movie yet. I'm just like, you're going to keep trying to gaslight me. We got to watch this movie.
I don't even know what that means. I've seen the movie.
You're trying to convince somebody that they're crazy.
Okay.
Constantly.
Yeah, constantly.
Yeah, definitely. All right, now I get it. It's a great movie. I recommend it. So, all right, staff picks, and I'm going to exclude myself because I'm Mark.
Boy, I don't know. I still don't have Filmstruck. So I.
You don't? Wow.
No, still don't have Filmstruck. I'm still watching my DVDs and my Blu-ray, so I'm really waiting for the Roku app, because I need a Roku house.
I will tell you that the iPad laptop versus having it on fire, on Amazon Fire, not literally on fire, I just can't watch it on these devices or computers anymore, because it's just so much better on the TV, so it's worth waiting for.
I'm hoping for now that they have Chromecast, I might buy a Chromecast, but we have a PlayStation, which is where we typically stream our media from. Mm. I've just been hooking up a laptop to the TV, and it's cumbersome, but it still gets it on the TV.
Probably not the best transfer, the AirPlay or whatever it is.
It's through an HDMI cable.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's not bad then. Okay, yeah. that's a good solution. All right, Mark,
what's my excuse?
Yeah, no, it's okay.
Why don't you just drag a computer down to your living room, get a 12-foot HDMI cable?
That's what Dave did.
There you go. Well, I know of a good podcast where you can hear all about it without having it. So
perfect. Let's join.
All right, let's do it right now. All right. Well, so there was a ton of stuff added, and too much to really do it justice. So the aforementioned speed round is going to happen right now, and so let me just set up the rules. and let me make sure I'm looking at my timer here. Okay, so you all have 10 seconds to give a reaction, and I'm going to go around the room, and if you don't want to, you pass. So that's it. So I'm going to throw a topic out there, and I don't know if you prepared or looked at the films, but you just answer. First thing, it's like, what's that game?
Password?
Should that too. Any of those. All okay. The above.
$10,000 pyramid.
Yeah.
Fresh luck.
All right, so music start. Or does it, Dave?
I don't have it queued up. I figured I'd just send it to you after the episode.
You did. It's playing right now.
Oh, perfect.
That's how podcasts work.
Oh, my goodness.
So, okay. All right. It's happening, though. All right. Dave, Joseph Losey.
I've seen The Servant. So cool.
Okay. All right. Jessica, Joseph Losey.
Pass.
I expect a lot of passing. Mark, Joseph Losey.
It's a name on the outline.
It is, yes. Okay. Me, Monsieur Klein, I think, didn't he do that? And I know Martin Kessler is a huge fan, so there's that. All right, I'm going to go reverse now. Female friendships. Mark.
Ghost World.
Good one, good one. I don't know if that was a part of the collection, but
I don't know either.
Jessica.
Pass.
I almost spit out coffee. Bad time to take a drink. Dave.
Young Girls of Rochefort? I don't know.
Hey, that's good. I think that's part of it.
Sweet.
I'll say the obvious, Thelma and Louise.
Oh,
and drive this podcast off of that.
Oh, shoot. I don't think I know the rules to this game.
That's because I just made it up. All right. Quaidon, Jessica. Don't cry.
Asian.
All right.
Pass.
Dave. No, you didn't. You said something.
The Lady in the Snow? Is that good. The name of the one? Okay.
Good. Dave. All right, Mark.
Own it on Blu-ray. It's fabulous.
All right. Me, smoky, orangey, little Japanese guitar. What's that instrument? I can't remember.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I can't check. No time. All right. Well, Jessica's going to love this one. Dave, Chris Marker shorts.
La jetée.
Jessica.
La jetée.
Mark.
12 monkeys.
Yeah, good. Aaron, Sansalay, and there's a whole bunch. I actually have a artificial eye collection I haven't watched yet, so they're all on Filmstruck now.
That's cool.
Okay, Dave. Oh, no, I'm going to go reverse this time. Mark, Julianne Moore.
Magnolia.
Good tie-in. Mm-hmm. Jessica.
Evolution. Also starring Buffalo Bill from The Silence of the Lambs.
Nice, ooh. Nice. Dave.
She's okay.
Girl Connect. I'll say Far From Heaven, because I want that in the collection.
She's in the collection, too, with Safe.
Yeah, she is. And they singled out The Hours, which I thought was interesting. I think that was the way they branded it. Julianne Moore and also The Hours. So
Shortcuts, Vanya. Yeah, she's there.
Nicole Kidman, prosthetic nose. Hmm. All right. John Sayles, Dave.
Pass.
Oh, come on.
I have no idea.
All right. Jessica?
Pass.
Dave. All right, Mark. I can't keep you on straight.
Damn the naysayers. Bring him into the collection. Why not?
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll say Eight Men Out, or Lone Star. I love John Sayles, great indie director. So I think I've surpassed my 10 seconds, but I'm taking your time. All right. I'm going to Jessica first, and I think I know her response. Jane Campion.
What is Pass?
Dave.
I need to see her movies.
Okay, you do.
I do.
Mark.
The Piano. I know that's
good one.
That's an easy one, but yeah. Crappy Blu-ray, cheap Blu-ray,
And I'll say Sweetie is out there, and Angel at My Table, and Passionless Moments is a short that I watched recently. So, all right, speed round over.
Who won?
I didn't.
I think Jessica won.
I think Jessica did win.
Because
her answers were genuine. You guys were just making shit
trying
up.
To come up with something smart.
She answered from the heart.
That's right.
She did.
Yes.
All right, so let's get into the Criterion Channel, and I might have to speed run this a little bit, but but not quite as chaotic. But that was fun. Hopefully the listeners like that. So there were some new spines, and I thought this was really cool that they did an entire spine, quote spine, of the Jacques Demy box set, with the whole box set is on Criterion. And I didn't, you know, do a comparison, but I think all the special features are on there too. So I thought that was amazing. But also, you know, if that's there and if it stays there, why would you buy the actual box set? Of course, they're splitting out the two biggest releases. But are you a Demy fan, Jessica?
I've been trying to make her watch The Umbrellas of Cherbourg or Young Girls of Rochefort.
But you didn't
like La La Land. I said La La Land is like those movies. So I don't know if you like a little bit more
and romance. Yeah.
Well, no, you like old Hollywood musicals. Yeah. You just need a lot more oomph to them than perhaps Jacques Demy has sometimes.
Yeah. And you could serious singing and dancing.
You could like Rochefort or Umbrellas. I'd say avoid the other ones. Donkey Skin, actually, well, maybe you would like Donkey Skin.
Donkey Skin is pretty bonkers. It's fun just in the sense that, like, what is this person doing with all these like people painted blue and red and.
Yeah, and like dressed in like animal costumes, and there's incest. I mean,
no, there's fear and disgust on her face.
Animal costumes and incest.
I might just stick with Meet Me in St. Louis. I don't know.
Well, that's not a musical. That's just a whacked out movie.
No, Meet Me in St. Louis is a musical.
Oh, he's talking about Donkey Skin.
Donkey Skin. Donkey Skin is actually kind of an homage to Beauty and the Beast, the original. So if you like that, you know, you want to try to draw those connections with incest and all that, then yeah, go to town. There's also Ace in the Hole, which is a good movie. All right, speed round, just anybody, 10 seconds. Thoughts, Ace in the Hole, jump in.
Love it. Billy Wilder, yep. Awesome.
Billy Wilder.
Way to go, Jessica, win. She won that.
Maybe right. Journalism.
Multiple Maniacs, speed round. React.
Never seen a John Waters film. This would be my first. Sadly.
Wow.
Very sad.
I'm with you, Mark. Same boat.
That hurts my soul.
Yep.
Wow. Is this going to hurt the nuptials? Are we okay here?
We're not getting married until Dave has seen Divine Eat Dog Shit. So
perfect.
That's going to happen first.
I have 18 months.
That's in Pink Flamingos.
Is that in the vows?
Ooh. No, my parents' heads would explode.
Okay, well, fortunately, Multiple Maniacs is going to be out, I think, before your wedding day.
Good.
So you're probably good. And you can watch it on Filmstruck right now if you just want to nip that in the bud and not jeopardize.
Yeah, and Divine doesn't, just to be clear, Divine does not eat dog poo in Multiple Maniacs. She does in Pink Flamingos. So.
Well, thank you for the clarification. I would watch either in any way. All right. There was also there were a lot of neat little featurettes, and there was one. I guess they're starting a new feature series about different theaters, indie theaters, and so they did one about the Walter Reed Theater at Lincoln Center, the Film Society at Lincoln Center, and it was interesting. I think it was like 10 minutes, maybe 8 minutes, and they just talked about the history of this theater, and this is a pretty famous theater too, and they could probably do this just with New York theaters, actually. Frankly, they probably will just do it with New York theaters. They're not coming to my hometown, that's for sure. Or yours, Mark.
Nope.
Maybe yours, Dave.
We have a theater on the main line that they might consider, but I kind of hope they don't.
I think that they should do the Colonial.
I think that would be
perfect.
That would be great.
I don't know if you've heard of the Colonial Theater in Phoenixville, Pennsylvania. You know, in The Blob, which is a Criterion, when they run out of the theater and scream, it was actually filmed at the Colonial Theater.
They have to.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's a historical landmark. They still have the balcony in there. It's a gorgeous theater. And every year they have the Blob Fest because the movie was filmed there, and you get to actually go see the Blob, and there's vendors.
Right. And we've met the actual Blob.
Yes, we have. We have.
You've met the Blob?
Yes,
wow.
He's in a
Stop
can.
The podcast.
He's smaller. Yeah. He's smaller
whoa.
In real life.
Yeah, yeah.
He is
nice
smaller.
Man, though. Nice man.
You know, the camera adds about 5 feet, whether you're a Blob or you're Tom Cruise. So, all right, Criterion, you're on notice. Do not stick to New York. You go to Pennsylvania. Actually, I know that a lot of people have been talking about the Brattleboro Cinema in Boston recently, a lot of our friends online. So I'm down with that. Actually, I want to go to Boston just for that. So,
cool.
In fact, I think this Criterion series might impact tourism dollars.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm going to New York, I think, in August, so this will definitely be a stop. Have you been there, Mark?
I haven't.
Yeah, me neither. Yeah. I've been to Film Forum and a couple of the others, but yeah, not that one.
Nope.
Oh, they got to go to Toronto and do to the TIFF light box. Mm. They got to do that, even though that's newer. They also did Split Screen Season 2, and that's a, well, I haven't seen it, so I really can't speak on it, but it's a series about film, so there you go. Have either of you all watched it?
Nope.
No.
No? Okay.
Sorry.
Listeners, if you watched it, if you recommend it, chime in on Twitter or on Facebook or something. I haven't watched it. I want to watch it, but I think I just making a commitment. TV shows are a commitment.
It's tough, yeah.
Yeah.
There are a lot I want to watch, and actually, I think before I watch this, it's not a TV show, but I want to watch the Scorsese Personal Journey, which is also on Filmstruck.
Hmm.
There's lots of options. Okay, well, moving right along, one thing I love about Filmstruck, and I'll get into this more in a minute, is they do the short plus feature on Tuesday nights. It's really one of my favorite features. So this week they did Wasp by Andrea Arnold and Stalker, which thematically has no connection whatsoever. I think the rationale there was Andrea Arnold is a fan of Stalker. I think that was it. But Wasp was I loved it. And in fact, it's now my favorite short that Filmstruck has done.
I have seen that, and it is a good short. And I have no idea, other than perhaps Andrea Arnold liking Stalker, why that would be.
Yeah.
It's on the Blu-ray, too, the DVD Fish Tank.
She did Fish Tank?
Mm-hmm. She did, and American Honey, yeah. And you can tell by those. I mean, it's definitely in the vein of the, I haven't seen American Honey, but from what I've read. She did. I didn't realize that was, I think, boy, did I see that before? No, I couldn't have.
Yeah,
sorry.
I think it's all three of hers. If not, it's three of them, if not all three early short films from her are on the Blu-ray DVD.
Man, I think I skipped those shorts. Well, incentive to go put that disc back in and watch them, because that was amazing.
Yeah, Wasp is great.
Oscar winning, too, yeah. Gotta check it out.
Yeah. Bleak. So that's what's in common with Stalker is Bleak, and Jessica is Pass. Right?
Yep. You got it.
But you can probably contribute to this one. There was Coda and the Seventh Seal. It was a short plus feature. That was the week prior. It's been 2 weeks. So I know you love the Seventh Seal, and then Coda was an animated short, and I didn't write down the director's name, but it was interesting, and it had a similar theme about death and the Grim Reaper. I thought it was interesting. It was good. Did anybody else see? I know you didn't, Mark, because you don't have Filmstruck.
Nope.
Dave, have you seen it? Or
I have not seen Coda. With these shorts and features, I'm like, that sounds like a great idea. Now let's find something else to watch. I don't feel like watching that right now.
I had something that prompted this. I'll get into later.
Okay.
All right. They also have the Friday double features, which they pair based on a theme. And these are pretty consistent. I think some of the shorts are a reach, but... So there was this football game on last week. In case
there
you didn't
was,
notice. Yeah.
I thought it was just a bunch of commercials. I don't know.
Terrible commercials this year. Don't get me started. They were bad. And the football game was pretty good though. So they did a double feature for the Super Bowl with the Freshman and the Sporting Life, which I thought was interesting. The Sporting Life, I guess I get it, but I would think I don't know, North Dallas 40 or something else might be, but it's not as good a film as The Sporting Life.
Yeah.
But are you a fan of Harold Lloyd, Jessica?
I do. I really enjoyed Safety Last. I do like Harold Lloyd.
Have you seen The Freshman?
I have not.
You've got to see The Freshman.
It's really good.
It's really great. Yeah.
Okay.
Are you a football fan?
I do like football. I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
You don't have to. I mean,
No. I actually do. The Eagles have consistently disappointed me throughout my life, but I still watch them. Yeah.
You're loyal to a T. So, I don't think you have to like football to like The Freshman, but it's just very funny.
Good.
Yeah. If you like Safety Last, you'll be all over The Freshman.
Okay, cool.
And the little thing he does, yeah, that's very descriptive. But I think he calls it his little dance. Is that right? Yeah.
Oh my god, that isn't that one. I thought that was in Speedy.
That's
The Freshman.
It's the jig, right?
Oh my goodness, it's so endearing, but also so embarrassing at the same time.
That's what's great about Harold Lloyd. That sums him up: embarrassing and endearing.
Yeah.
And then this week's double feature was A Night to Remember and The Long Voyage Home, John Ford. And I wanted to try to watch The Long Voyage Home, Friday nights to Sunday podcasts, there's not a lot of time. I haven't seen that one. One of the Fords I really been meaning to, but I've seen A Night to Remember, which is about the Titanic, and I think the connection was, well, I don't know. You guys, anything?
Boats.
Water.
Well, I mean, if you want to get the Long Voyage, I have not seen the Long Voyage Home, but I mean, after what those people went through on the Titanic, it's going to take a long time for them to find their normal again and something. So I'm just spitballing here.
You mean all the people that died?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
it's going to take them a while.
There's people that live.
No, the people that live, you know, because they were, you know.
So Rose, not Jack.
Correct. I've actually seen A Night to Remember, so.
Oh, good. Me too.
Yeah.
I'll take it over that other, the other one.
I actually really like Titanic, though. I think it's a fantastic movie. Yes.
Okay, well, technically, I think it's great. I think the narrative, putting that in there, gets to me. But, hey, you hate romance. What's the deal?
I saw Titanic when it came out in 1997. I was in love with Leonardo DiCaprio in fifth grade. But I just love it. I mean, that's okay. There's a lot of action.
I'm still in love with Leo DiCaprio.
He's gotten too old for me. I like younger, less City Miles.
All right, Dave, you're good.
I have a bleak future ahead of me.
You're good for now.
Yeah, Leo. When a Leo outages you, never mind. Okay, so then there were a few series that came out. There was Auteurs in Space that had Time Bandits, Le Jeté, speaking of Chris Marker, Solaris, World on a Wire, Things to Come, and Princess from the Moon. I haven't seen the latter, but I do like Auteurs in Space. And by the way, Jessica, even though it's probably definition of slow cinema, but if you haven't seen Le Jeté, I think you could like that.
No, yeah. I have seen that.
Mm. Okay. Do you like it?
Mm-hmm. I do.
Good. It's short, too.
Mm-hmm. It is.
It's literally a short.
Yes.
All right. You guys.
And now
like
it's
this?
A TV show.
Oh, it is. Yeah.
Yeah, the 12 Monkeys TV show.
Oh, right. Okay.
Exactly as Chris Marker envisioned.
Intended, that was his original
trajectory.
Vision.
Yeah.
But he just couldn't do it at the time.
2016, 2017, I want this to be the first 4K TV show. Mark, any thoughts on Auteurs in Space?
It's a nice collection there, although Time Bandits, I don't know if that takes place in space, but yeah, it's nice to, I love my sci-fi, so that's a good collection. I've never seen Princess from the Moon, never even heard of it, but that's a Ichikawa film, so I'd love to see a release
neither.
Of that.
Yeah, Time Bandits, I guess when they go through the time thing, when they push that that thing. I'm really great with words today.
They go through space.
Yeah, I think they go through space. Nice. So there you go. Okay. Technically in space for a little bit, and then to like old times.
Right.
There was also The Immigrants, which is
that's timely.
Yeah, I think we mentioned last show they're doing a little bit of trolling. So there was Ali Fiorit's The Soul. There was Alan Brista, Ackerman's News from Home. There was El Norte. There was Mao's and the Pursuit of Happiness. And Lan, or Lahane, as people often mispronounce it. Then the La Promesse from the Dardens and
yeah.
Le Havre from Karasmaki. So good collection.
Yeah, it is.
Great collection, actually. Yeah. So I'll start with Jessica, since she's probably blank staring right now. Have you seen any of these?
Can you see me right now? It's like, what is going on?
We have not... video off, by the way. So.
Yeah. We have. I've not seen any of these.
I think you'd like Ali Fiorit's The Soul. Have you seen any Fassbender?
Ooh, did he do anything with Dirk Bogarde? Because if so...
He did, but we haven't watched any of those yet. But you have an interest in those because you like Dirk Bogarde.
Yeah, I do like him.
I think you could like this. Now, I think not all of his work... Oh, actually, World on a Wire might be up your alley if you like weird, wacky science
That's
fiction.
That's Rock Hudson, right?
No,
that's Seconds.
Seconds. Oh.
World on Wire is like a virtual reality thing.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
It's
like
interesting.
It's like a Matrix-y thing, but
yeah.
It's actually technically, I guess it's a miniseries, but
right.
So it's long, but it's episodic. But it's really good.
Yeah.
Cool.
I think you'd get into that. So anyway, that was the last series. So Mark, do you have any thoughts on these?
It's a great collection. I just love El Norte. I just have a soft spot for that. I think that was an early Criterion watch for me. So it's just some great stuff there. So, yeah, timely.
Yeah, that's that's the one big one I haven't. Actually, I think that's the only one on this list I haven't seen, and I know that's a big blind spot. Oh, I haven't seen News from Home either, but yeah, I think that's a great collection. Ali Furates the Soul. I think, you know, if you want to talk about modern times, it nails it. Mm. So, and so Len too, Len Lehane.
Yeah, that very, was one that Barry Jenkins in his video pointed out as one that they would watch over and over. You know, when he was in film school. So,
yeah, and actually, and Andrea shows that to her class, her English class, and you always wonder, especially with Criterion films, how people will respond, and they love it because there's so much energy, and it's so. Actually, I think Jessica, you could like that one too.
Okay.
Okay.
It's on the shelf anytime you want to watch it.
Okay, there
you
go. Right.
Have you seen it, Dave?
I have. I've seen most of the things on this list, but not all. La Norte is a big blind spot, I guess, for me as well. So is Alan Brista.
Obviously, because it's El Norte.
Yeah. Oh, I was looking at La Havre. Oh, I haven't seen that one. El Norte, yeah, no. if I mispronounce it, I probably haven't seen it. But I'm Ali Furates the Soul is definitely one of my all-time faves. So.
Yeah, yeah. I think you need to have a Fassbender honeymoon.
There you go.
Maybe not. Let me walk that one back.
That sounds like a melodramatic tragedy.
Yeah, no. Watch, but you're probably going to watch horror on your honeymoon. So, you know, why not?
I actually want to go to Disney World for the honeymoon. So I'm an anomaly. What could I say?
No, yeah, you're awesome. Yeah, and listeners, they're doing a classic Hollywood wedding. So, can you share, or is that private? Are you allowed to share anything about that?
The only thing, no. It's the only thing that I have 100% decided on. Instead of table numbers, we're going to do like movie stars. So, like, you'll be sitting at the Jimmy Stewart table or the Jean Harlow table, and I'm designing a picture with their name on it, like an Art Deco type thing. So that's what I've decided so far.
Awesome. Okay. Well, we're gonna have to have you on post wedding. When is it? Like
August 10th, 2018. So, okay. So there's some time.
Right. We're booking you for September, maybe October 2019. Maybe.
See you in 3 years.
Boy, that's some planning. Good job.
I was going to suggest a Bergman cake topper. I was kind of putting this to Dave on Facebook. My thought is you could do a death match. So you could have death from Fanny and Alexander versus death from the Seventh Seal.
You need to have death from the Seventh Seal as the cake topper. You need to have the Seventh Seal as the cake.
okay, all right.
And use a scythe as the carving knife.
Oh, that would be pretty sweet. But again, my parents' heads explode.
Sure. Yeah,
parents, schmarents. All right. Well, I think we're through the episode. You made it, Jessica.
Woohoo!
And you were great. So we are our final wrapping up things is to talk about what we've been doing. So coincidentally, Dave, I think I know your answer. So, Dave, go ahead.
So, I was on Wrong Reel yesterday. The episode is on now. I don't know when this episode's going out. So, recently. Yeah. And James and I talked about, I don't know if you guys are familiar. It's a boutique media label called Criterion. Huh. They put out art house films. I don't know if that's up your alley.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, we'll check into it.
Yeah, check into it. I don't know. It's your thing.
Yeah, I thought I just saw it appear in my podcast, and I was like, "Damn, Dave's on my show today." I wish I had time to listen to it, but so it was your favorites.
It was not quite my favorites. They were ones that I felt like ones that I really like that perhaps don't get spoken about as much, because I could certainly say like, yeah, Persona, Seven Samurai, Brazil, but I feel like Royal Tenenbaums. I feel like those are movies that maybe everybody knows about. Everyone might own those. So I wanted to highlight some things that perhaps listeners...
Like underappreciated gems, kind of.
Somewhat underappreciated, but maybe things that you don't know is on Criterion or that the average person might not own.
Huh, nice. Okay.
Dave's picks.
Well, I'm actually going to be on there in a couple weeks, so I'll listen and I'll probably comment there.
All right.
It's like we communicate through podcasts.
Exactly.
We really do with a lot of people. Jessica, what you been doing?
I have been watching rewatching 70s disaster movies because I love them.
Nice.
And yes, Dave has not seen The Poseidon Adventure, so that's something that we're going to have to Remedy. We watched the Cassandra Crossing last night, which was fun, but not as good as Roller Coaster. I highly recommend Roller Coaster if you haven't seen it.
Wow.
And Cassandra's Crossing probably has the most amount of Criterion actors starring in a disaster movie, because it has Burt Lancaster, Ingrid Thulin.
Wow.
Oh my goodness, who else is in that? That is
OJ Simpson plays a priest.
That probably has no chance of coming out on Criterion, right?
Unfortunately not.
Sorry.
Cassandra Crossing. I don't think it's gonna get a Criterion release.
I've seen a couple. A Towering Inferno, I guess that would count.
That is my favorite.
Airport, I guess. I haven't seen Poseidon Adventure. So.
Oh my goodness, it's awesome.
We'll have to do a commentary, a live blog or live cast commentary. No,
exactly.
Finally.
All right, Mark.
I'm going to do speed round because 2016 films. I was on the First Time Watchers podcast to talk about those. We did our top five. We also mentioned our top 10 and some other categories. So check that out. That was fun. I also got to join Doug McCambridge some months ago, and it was recently released, to talk about I Saw the Devil on Planecast. So check that out. That's a short watch, only 45 minutes. And lastly, parents, call it to parents. Now might be the time to show your kids La Belle and La Bête. My daughter had a sleepover last night. And with Beauty and the Beast coming out, they did a double feature of the animated Disney Beauty and the Beast, and they watched La Belle and La Bête. They said they had questions after, said it was weird. Of course it is. It's a French 40s movie. But
how old is your daughter?
She's turning 13.
She's smart, baller. Though. I love it.
Did she like it?
She thought it was okay. They cannot wait for the Emma Watson, you know, the live action, of course.
Of course, love her.
And so, yeah, I mean, I think they were glad that they watched it. I didn't get to watch it with them. I just kind of let them do their thing. And, you know, it was probably good for them to, you know, just delve into it, the two of them, and make fun of it probably.
Darn kids, get off my lawn. Well, I'll take your speed round and I'll make it not speed round. I did listen to your 2016 films, First Time Watchers podcast, and that was interesting. I don't agree with all of their picks. There was a certain film, Ghostbusters.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, really? Wow. And a couple others, but I respect those and like those guys and appreciate their tastes. But I really liked your picks. I think I mostly agreed with you. Good episode. I also watched I Saw the Devil when I saw that that you were on that show, but I haven't listened to the episode yet. But I Saw the Devil was unsettling.
Yes, to say the
pretty
least.
Good. Have David, Jessica, have you seen I Saw the Devil?
No,
I always want to put it on, but it's like 2 hours.
It's
and
long, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm going to fall asleep on the couch.
No, you have to. If there's a movie tailor-made for you, Jessica, this is it.
Should be
all
up
right.
Here.
That's the Korean. It's a Korean movie, right?
Korean horror, yeah.
Yep. Got it.
He's searching a serial killer.
Oh, my. Why haven't we watched this yet?
Because I always say it, and you're like, honey, it's two hours.
It's my fault. It is my fault.
Yeah. Kind of procedurally, but kind of horror-y and grotesque.
Revenge tale.
We gotta pull the trigger on that one.
Yep. I think it's worth
it's
it. I thought it was good. It's a date night.
It is a date night for us.
I think
the reason you have such a late date is you have so many films to watch ahead of time. All right. Well, what I've been doing is I got sick. Actually, immediately after the last episode, I got like horribly sick. That's okay. You know, actually, being sick and being a cinephile is kind of cool.
Because
I took 2 days off work, and I just watched short films. And I think, I don't know if it's just me, but I really like watching short films when I'm sick because, you know, your mind just can't digest. Like, yeah, I'm not going to watch The Tree of Wooden Clogs when I'm sick. So I binge-watched all of the short films that have been part of the Tuesday short feature. So, and then that ended with Wasp this week, so now I'm just going to try to keep up. And actually, there's one really good one called The Strange Ones I really liked. So yeah, check that out. And also, Needle was really good. That was one that Matt recommended on our show. And then I watched one of the discs of Brackage, and I watched, which is, being sick watching Brackage is like something.
You sure you didn't just watch a normal movie, but you were having a fever dream?
Right. It felt like it, yeah. And I also watched the SNA, the BFI SNA chaplain shorts arrived, so I watched a bunch of those too, so that was fun. And then I watched a lot of stuff, period. And then also, speaking of talking a long time ago, I talked to Keith Enright, and his episode came out of Criterion Completion, which was basically an interview with me.
So if you want to know a little more about Aaron, definitely check it out. That was a really good listen.
Thanks. Yeah, he just kind of had a bunch of topics and of Criterion related things, and he joked, he called, I don't know if it was this made the episode, but he called it the greatest hits of Aaron and Criterion. So. It was fun.
Yeah, nice to hear about your dad and upbringing there and the laser discs and some good nuggets there.
Yeah, you're not selling it well. Yeah. We also talked about like the blogathon and the blog and the podcast. Actually, you too. Did we trash you, Mark? I forget.
I don't think so. No. You were very very kind.
The next one is all anti-Mark, or maybe he cut all that out.
Right.
All right, well, our last thing is a piece of Flair, which has kind of evolved as the show's evolved, and it's really just a fun thing that we've been doing or been into, or news thing. So, Dave, do you have a piece of Flair?
Sure. The piece of Flair that I wanted to talk about is that Tony Erdmann, which was a 2016 German film that I really, really liked, is getting an American remake, which... I guess we'll find out how that goes.
Is that good?
Is the movie good, or is the remake being remade good?
Well, both. Is the movie good, and is it good that they're remaking it?
I really like the movie. I don't think that it's necessary to remake such a new film, especially when people are capable of reading. But
No. People don't want to read their movies, David. We need to remake it for American people.
That's right. Yeah, like The Banishing, the same film with different endings.
Yes, in American.
not in German, in American.
America, yeah. So, we'll build a wall and make our own damn movies.
Mm-hmm. I will say that I do like the casting for the two main actors. I think Jack Nicholson coming out of semi-retirement is interesting, and I like Kristen Wiig, but I think my excitement, which is already kind of low, could turn to horror depending on who they get to write and direct it.
Yeah, speaking of American remakes, I saw The Devil is being remade by that guy that did VHS and
No,
really, you're not a fan?
No.
Wait, which guy that did VHS? Is it Adam Wingert? Because that might be okay.
Yeah, the guy that and The Guest.
Okay, I like The Guest.
Yeah,
what's The Guest?
The one where the guy is visiting, or says that he
is it like an 80? It feels 80s.
Yeah.
Okay, I like that movie. That's cool.
Okay.
Just the VHS, like
the VHS series.
Yes, I do not like that.
He did one of them. I don't know what. I'm not a found footage kind of guy.
But at the same time, he did Blair Witch, and I was not a big fan of Blair Witch.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we'll see. Jessica, do you have a piece of Flair?
I was super excited that Popcorn, the horror movie from the early 90s, is being released by
Synapse.
It's a super fun gem of a movie. So about a movie theater, and film people are putting on a horror movie marathon in an old movie theater to raise money for I don't know what, and people start to die. So it's a fun little movie.
I don't even know this movie. Why is that?
It's been like a VHS staple for years because it's never even gotten a DVD release.
Yeah, if you saw the box, you would probably be like, I've seen this box before.
I just pulled it up, and I also saw it's $45. What the hell?
I know. I don't know why it's so expensive.
It's because of the stupid book, like the metal...
The steel book.
Stupid book. That's what we're going to call it from now on. Stupid book. But not for Ghost World. That would be a cool book.
Yeah.
No. Not that it comes with a book. It's instead of just being a DVD case, they're putting it in a steel container. And that's why it's like $45. Yeah. It's the only thing that we could rationalize.
Yeah.
Wait for them to not sell any. It'll be $20 in a week. I could see this being like an Arrow. I mean, I haven't heard of it, but it just looks like an Arrow kind of release too. So maybe a UK Arrow. Have you seen it, Mark?
I haven't. No, I recognize that cover, like Jessica said, but no, I haven't seen it.
Yeah,
it's fun.
It's really fun.
It was filmed in Jamaica. The music is like reggae. And they were like, nobody will notice. Just put it in.
It's Jamaica for, like, Southern California.
Yeah.
Right. It's L.A. posing as... Well, at least it's not
Jamaica
Vancouver.
Posing as L.A.
Vancouver posing as Jamaica would be great.
That would
be... It's probably happened, actually.
I'm sure.
Mark, piece of Flair.
Well, Flair should be fun, right? But I do need to give a shout out to a film that isn't quite so fun, but it's I Am Your Negro. This one,
I want to see this.
Yeah, this one sold out 4 showings. They kept having to add showings in for the Vermont International Film Foundation, and it also opened the Portland International Film Festival. I saw that Ryan went to that. So, and it's a really nice. I mean, it's words and clips that I think from Baldwin that are from James Baldwin that really seem relevant. Everything he was saying just sounded like it was so current and not really from the 1960s. And I felt like the narration was understated. You don't even know. I didn't recognize Samuel Jackson's voice. That's how good it was. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's something else. I certainly the best documentary I have seen on the subject matter, I guess I'll say, on civil rights in quite some time. And there were a couple others that came out last year too that I had seen. So, yeah, got to see it.
Well, my wife has studied James Baldwin, and I will have some opinions. One opinion I have is sadness that I looked at the IMDb rating earlier and it's like 5-something.
Yeah, and it's weird. It's like
sadly, I think that's just bad people that haven't seen it. Yeah. And yeah, so
it's like 9.6 on Metacritic, and then 5.7 for viewers. So
hopefully that when people see it, people that have seen it will actually start rating it, and that'll go up. But do we put much stock in IMDb ratings?
No.
Well, mine is. I'll be quick. Denis Villeneuve, is that right?
Yes.
Yes.
He is directing Dune.
Yes.
And another David Lynch connection. I love Dune. I love David Lynch's Dune. I don't care what you guys think of me. I'm going to defend that film. I think it was misunderstood. I think it still is. I think if you like it and if you dislike it, you're wrong. No, I'm not going to say that. I can understand criticisms, but I saw it when I was younger. I'd read the books, so I'm just a big fan of that film. But I think this is a great time for a remake. And after Arrival, I think and of course his other films. I think Villeneuve is a good fit. I like that he's an art film doing science fiction, and bringing in art house sensibilities. So I'm really pumped for this.
Auteurs in space.
Auteurs in space, right? On Arrakis.
Yeah, I can't wait for this. I mean, this is considered just like Lord of the Rings, an unfilmable book, and to see what Villeneuve can maybe do with it. I mean, I know there's been talk of doing it as an animated series would be great, or just a television series, but can't imagine a better name tied to it, really.
Not unfilmable, because David Lynch did film it, and it was awesome. I just said that.
No, I agree with that. It scared the poop out of me when I was little.
High five, Jessica. Yeah. Awesome. All right. See, you're here. You're not a fourth wheel.
Holding my own.
Not even third and a half. All right. Well, that's it. A little longer show than usual, but we had a lot to talk about, and it's been a fun time. So you can find the show on Twitter at Criterion_now, also CriterionCast, and you can listen to it on its own feed or the CriterionCast master feed, which we can listen to a lot of other great shows. I'm on Twitter, AWS505. I know that Dave is on. Dave, where are you at?
I'm on Twitter at Cinema versus Dave. That is Cinema vs. Dave.
And I know that if you want Jessica, and unless you're transgender, just get with Dave, right, Jessica?
just drag queens, not
drag queens. Okay,
drag
sorry.
Queens, yes.
Sorry,
yes, sir.
I could not remember the distinction.
So, I love my ladies.
You love the girls. So, yeah, it leaves Dave a message. and, yeah, there were a lot of positive messages left to Dave, I think, after our last episode. Did you relay those, Dave?
You might have gotten the positive messages and forgot to relay them to me.
People didn't listen. They I was the messenger, and I should not have been. Mark, where are you at?
At Mark Kearney on Twitter.
All right, guys. Been fun. Thanks for coming.
Thanks.
Thank you for having us.